Good morning and happy Sabbath, everyone. Before I start, I'd just like to have one more word of prayer. Father in heaven, I just want to submit myself into your hands. May you speak, we pray. Amen. Paul has been probably one of my favorite characters for a long time, and more so when I was just getting out of high school. I did literature evangelism, and I was doing big books where we would pop this accordion, and we would try to sell them the big blue Bible story books, and we would try to sell people the Conflict of the Ages series. And during my summers, I would pray, God, make me like Paul. And back then, I really did not realize what I was asking when I was praying that prayer. It's kind of like when we ask to pray, we pray, and God, make me like Jesus. And then sometimes we're met with adversity, and we're like, wait, what's going on here? Forgetting that Jesus, 99% of the time of his life, was met with adversity in his life. And Paul, in similar ways, was met with adversity. And as I continued through my summer, I realized some of the things that Paul was going through, and I started rethinking how I was praying, Lord, make me like Paul. I didn't get stoned. I didn't get thrown out of cities. But I think some of the difficulties that Paul endured, I believe that God started to form within my life and tried to mold me even more so and develop my character. I will say one of the best opportunities that I've ever had in character building was going door to door and trying to share my faith with other people. And maybe some of you can relate. But it is rewarding. Paul, as the story says, he's on his way to Damascus. And this whole week, we were learning with the kids about what was happening to Paul while he was in Rome in prison and then the underground church. But all of that started somewhere. And it all started back on this road to Damascus, and maybe even sooner than that. But for the most part, it started right here. On his way to Damascus, Paul, or Saul at the time, was asking letters from the high priest to go to Damascus so that he could arrest anyone who were of the way. The way was the name of the early Christians. That was what they were known as, and that's their first name, of the way. Because not only did they believe, but they lived up to what they believed in. Jesus, the way. And as he's on his way there, as the scripture reading read, that suddenly a bright light shone, and he fell to the ground, and the words came to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And one of the things that I noticed as I was examining the text and looking at the words that Jesus was speaking, whenever you see one word repeated more than once, there's some emphasis there. As in Jesus saying Saul's name twice, Saul, Saul. And it's to imply a deep emotion, not necessarily anger, but emotion. Like when Jesus talked to Martha, Martha, Martha. And to me, it just struck me because when I see that and I read that and I think about what Paul or Saul was doing at that time, he was persecuting the church, he was persecuting God's followers, and at times God is angry in the Bible, and at times he is displeased with his people, but at also other times, here we see another picture of Christ's character when he deals with those who may be doing wrong. And he shows them loving concern. Not in anger, but he comes to us and he calls us by name, maybe Caleb, Caleb, what are you doing? He may be displeased with what we may be doing individually. And maybe at times some things may anger him about the things we're doing, but that never takes away the loving concern that he shows each one of us. And here, Saul, a persecutor of the church, is met with Jesus himself, and he calls to him, expounding deep emotion in calling his name, asking him, what are you doing, Saul? Why are you persecuting me? And the way in which Paul responds is very important. Look at this. In verse 5, it says, "And Saul, he said, 'Who are you, Lord?'" In 1990, there was a Gallup, a questionnaire that Gallup sent out. And it asked people to choose three questions they would most likely ask God. The top five responses were, "God, will there ever be lasting world peace? How can I be a better person? What does the future hold for my family and me? Will there ever be a cure for all diseases? And why is there suffering in the world?" Those were the top five responses that the Gallup survey got. And to me, I think it's kind of strange that people would ask God these questions that are so readily available and answered within the Word. And I think that if we would spend time prayerfully within God's Word, all of those answers would be answered. But they really aren't the most important questions. Paul asked the right questions, and he came to Jesus, and in this encounter, Paul asked Jesus, "Who are you, Lord?" Who are you, Lord? Now, Lord was a common phrase back then that you would respond to people who were speaking to you, who were of higher authority. But also, I think there's a key to this question, who are you, Lord? Who is Jesus to you? Do you know Jesus personally, or do you have a head knowledge of Jesus? Who is he to you? And to me, when I was asking this question, I even asked myself, well, that's a great question. Who are you, Jesus, to me? I think growing up in the church, I became comfortable with the idea of already knowing who Jesus is and who he was and what he's doing. But I don't think I ever really asked myself sincerely the personal question, who are you, Lord, for myself? Who is Jesus to you? And I love how Jesus responds. He says, "I am Jesus." Out of all the names he could have replied to, he responded with Jesus. And Paul knew in an instant that it was this Jesus that the Christians of that time were following and giving their lives for, and he knew instantly who he was talking about, because Jesus was a common name back in the day. It was common just like Sam or Joe or Bob. Jesus was a common name, but he knew this Jesus. And I think it's important for us to ask the question for ourselves, who is Jesus to us? Because the next question that we see will have some weight if we know who Jesus is. But before we get to that question, Jesus responds to him by giving him a parable. He says, "My name is Jesus, in whom you are persecuting." Christ identifies with his people. Remember, Jesus says in Matthew that if you have done it unto the least of these, you have done it unto me. And so he's identifying with his people, and he says, "Saul, you are persecuting me. It is hard to kick against the goats." And many of us know the story, and we know what a goat is, but for those of you who don't know what a goat was a long rod. Let me see if I have one up here. Actually, Vern, can I use yours? It was a long rod, except wooden, and had a sharp point. And they would stand behind the ox, and they would poke the ox in the rear legs to get them going. And that's where we get the term, they're goading people on. Come here, let me show them how it's done. No, joking. I'm just kidding, Bert. Just kidding. But he gives this parable about Saul. He says, it's hard for you to kick against the goads. symbolizing Saul as the ox doing the work, and Jesus is the farmer who is trying to lead the ox. And he is kicking against the goad. Saul was kicking against something. Saul had made up his mind even after Stephen was stoned. He had the conviction of Stephen's testimony, but because he respected his religious leaders and those who had taught him, he listened to what they had said, and he was convinced by their words that those of the way following Jesus were wrong, and that the religious leaders of that time were right. And yet he was fighting something within his conscience. And here I believe Jesus met him on this road, the crossroads of his life, to answer him in that convicting moment that he was probably struggling with in his mind. And Paul's next question was, what do you want me to do? I said just a few moments ago that it's important to know who Jesus is to us, because in asking this next question, what do you want me to do? It carries weight, because if we really don't know who Jesus is for ourselves, we won't know what he really wants us to do. But even still, in knowing who Jesus is to us, I think we still struggle in even asking this question, what do you want me to do, God? What does God want you to do in your life? Could you possibly be kicking against the goads? Could you, maybe you're not persecuting someone physically, maybe it's verbally, or maybe it's with your actions and how you look at someone. Or maybe you have a convicting conscience and God is asking you, forgive someone. But I've forgiven enough. I don't need to forgive anymore. We'll forgive even deeper. Or maybe you're fighting a change that Christ wants to make in you. I've changed enough. I believe in you. Isn't that enough? Or maybe you're fighting going somewhere or going to someone that God wants you to talk to. Or maybe you're listening to truth and it's convicting you, but you are resisting it. What is it that you are kicking against in your own life? For Paul, it was the conviction of knowing who Jesus was for himself and knowing that what he was doing was wrong. And I promise you, if you ask the questions, Lord, who are you? And Lord, what do you want me to do? I can guarantee you that God will give you an answer. He will show you who he is to you in your life. He will show you what he wants you to do in your life. For Paul, he had to go and be blind for 3 days and 3 nights. And in that time, he didn't eat or drink. In that time, he was searching through the scriptures through his mind and seeing that all of them were pointing to Jesus. But also in those 3 days, what Paul was doing was he was ultimately dying to himself and dying to his pride. And after those threes, and only after those 3 days, did he receive the resurrection life from Jesus. Maybe it's something as simple as what Paul was going. Maybe we need to surrender the pride within our hearts. Maybe that's the goad we're kicking. But when we ask these questions, friends, ask it with a humble heart too. Because you may be surprised with what God wants you to do. The two questions that Paul asked are the two questions that I want to leave with you. Even though some of us may be long-time Adventists or maybe short-term Adventists, the question we need to ask is, who are you, Lord? For Paul, it never ended right there in that circumstance. He talks about it in Philippians. You remember, he says, oh, to know you in your suffering, to know you in your resurrection, and to know you in your death. Paul never stopped wanting to know who Christ was for himself. And let me tell you, when we get to heaven, the question's just going to continue to be answered. We will be learning about who God is for an eternity. And so today I leave you with the question, whether you've asked it before or not, or whether it's the first time, who is Jesus to you? And as you figure that out, ask the next question, God, what do you want me to do? And be ready for the answer, because it may be something you're not expecting. It may be something that you may resist. It may be something that may leave you wrestling with him. Remember, if you're feeling restless, or if you're feeling like you're fighting something, don't ignore those feelings. I know we're not supposed to rely heavily upon our feelings, but those feelings are there for a reason, as warning signs, as indicators that there is something that we need to address. So don't ignore them, but address them and see what God does in your life. Let us pray before our closing song. Father in heaven, I just want to ask that you would reveal yourselves to us in an even deeper way. Take us into an even more committed relationship with you. And Father, I pray that we would be even as brave as Paul to sincerely ask the question, what do you want me to do? What is the next thing that you are calling us to in our relationship? Father, is it to forgive someone even deeper? Is it to let go? Is it to follow the convictions that you're laying upon our hearts? Is it to go somewhere, to talk to someone, to get out of our comfort zones? Lord, show us. We ask this as we are your people, and we wish not to remain idle, and we wish not to ignore your voice. We ask that we would ask this also in a humble heart. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.